Blog Talk Radio.
A man decides after 7 years, that's what he goes there for, to unlock the door. Well, those around him criticize and flee.
Everybody to Vibe Time with Jerry. Got into a little bit of a bind, but Tracy has come to the rescue. Tonight, we were supposed to have Kimberly Moxley on my show. She has canceled because she's at the ER. So I have Tracy Ann coming on tonight, and we are going to be talking about our Boobitches group. So this is a ladies-only group. And I'm very excited about it. So I'm not going to keep Tracy waiting because we got like an hour. Well, we don't even have that now. We've got 56 minutes left. So hold on. Unmute her. Are you there? Are you there? Can you hear
Jerry.
Me?
I can hear you loud and clear. Can you hear me?
Thank you. Yes. Thank you for the rescue. Okay.
No problem. Hey, that's what boobies
are for.
Oh, my
gosh. Yeah, that's right. I appreciate that.
Well, thank you for having me on. I think that, you know, the more we talk about this event, the more people are going to come on board and be involved. And, you know, I want to hype it up, man. I think it's going to be amazing.
It will be. And we've already sold. We don't even have that. How many tickets do we have left the last time we checked?
22?
How many?
I don't know. I don't math. We started with 30.
I know
there's been at least 4 tickets. I don't know about today because Dennis, of course, is on the road rescuing somebody whose engine blew up. So I don't know what the Eventbrite has sent to him. But I know that tickets are slowly going, but as the event gets closer to the 30th of August for next year, because that's the event dates, is April 30th, May 1st, right over Beltane weekend of 2022, the tickets are going to get sold quickly. I think this is going to be a sellout event, not only because it's the one of the first ladies only that I'm, at least for the cabin that I'm aware of, but also because of the cause that we're sponsoring, which is one of our local shelters in Virginia that helps with the survivors of domestic violence. So I think that cause is going to be dear to many people.
I agree, and I think the event's going to sell out here within the next couple weeks.
Yeah, I'm excited, because if it does sell out, we're going to have another one.
Yeah. It is for a good cause.
Absolutely.
Let's talk about how it got started.
A phone call, just like this, with you.
Yeah.
Actually, it started because you were wearing a really cool T-shirt on Facebook, and I really liked the picture. It said "boo something." I thought it said "bitches." What did your shirt say?
It said "bitch club."
Bitch club, but it had a little ghost on it, right?
It did. Yep, it's from the bitch club.
For some reason, in my dyslexic brain, it saw "boo bitches," and I thought, "Well, isn't that cool? That would be such a fun thing." And then I'm laying in bed, you know, you do at night when you're just, like, settling in. And I thought, boo bitches. Wouldn't it be cool to have an all-female paranormal group? And then my brain went ping, and it said, wouldn't it be cool to have an event at the cabin? I'm like, I got access to that. I'm going to call my brother from another mother, Dennis. So I called you first, and I said, cool. And you were like, yes, it would. And then we talked about, you know, getting Dennis in the cabin, and we just put him in on a three-way call and roped him right in. Poor guy. I still think he needs to show up in pink press-on nails, a wig, and a dress so he can come and be an honorary boo bitch. I think that would be hysterical. If he shows up in drag to that event, I'm going to lose my mind. So, but that's probably how it started. It was just a conversation with an idea. And then a thought, if it's going to be ladies only, what is something that women can really help support other women? And the first thing that came to my mind was domestic violence, because so many women in the paranormal have been attacked, solicited, raped, abused. I thought, there's so many of us out there that we don't tell our stories and we don't even know how to support each other, that Boo Bitches would not only be a group that supports domestic violence, but supports survivors within its own group to provide a safe space. And eventually, I would love to see this group become kind of like that group that's, you know, the bikers that take kids to their court appointments.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then they sit there around the child as protection and support, so that if someone walks in a Boo Bitch t-shirt to one of your events, you know right there you have a representative. You have someone who is going to support you, who's going to be there to listen, who's going to be there to make sure everybody has a safe event. And if shit goes down and there's a boo bitch at your event, you better be on point.
That's right.
My goal is to help support just to be a presence. Kind of like Hell's Angels are a presence, but be a more positive presence.
We'll just be a boo bitch.
I just kind of had this feeling that this could be something really big. You know, to quote the movie Hercules, indoor plumbing is going to be big. Boo bitches, it's going to be big. But even if it doesn't go anywhere beyond one event, I think this event would be stellar. One, it's at the cabin. I mean, come on, that place is amazing. You've investigated there so many more times. Tell some stories. Talk about that location.
Exactly. There's just so much to tell about the Cabin on 360. It's like there is not one time that I have not been to the Cabin on 360 where there has been activity, whether it's in the Brook Rancher, whether it's in the woods, whether it's in the cabin itself, upstairs. I mean, there's just... it's such an active place. You just can't get any better than the cabin. You can't. It's just like I said, it's so active, and I have investigated there quite a few times, you know, and it's just, I have clear-cut EVPs of just so many different things with the cabin.
Well, I really enjoyed last time. I think it was one of the last times you were there. You guys were upstairs in the brothel bedroom.
Yeah.
Upstairs in the cabin. And you were getting so much light conversation and the EVPs of the women coming through. And again, domestic violence right there at the cabin. It happened.
Right.
You know, I would love to touch base with those spirits. What happened?
Oh, yeah.
So,
yeah, that would be very interesting.
And then if you add in the Civil War history and the Battle of Bethesda Church and Cold Creek?
Cold Harbor.
Cold Harbor.
Cold Harbor.
And the fact that the you know, so many men on that property, both Union and Confederate, and the history of that land during the Civil War, and we've got 7 acres of it to go out and play in. There was one time I was out, the very first time I ever came to the cabin, we were out in the woods, and we had out, the whole group was out in the woods, and we had our flashlights, and we were all out there doing our thing, and myself, another gentleman, and his son somehow got separated from the herd. I think I went off to go look at something. There was something on a tree, like a hunter's reflector, and I saw it glitter, and I wanted to see what it was. You know, glitter! Oh, I'm gone. Because I have the chance to stay asleep, and I'm a fairy by trade. So anyway, they went with me to investigate, and we turned around, and the group was gone. I swear to Goddess, Jerry, that we walked through some kind of a doorway. We walked through something that just took us out into the woods by ourselves. It was just the three of us. And we could find Dennis. And, you know, he's got that big old candlelight flashlight that could, you know, land a plane. Nothing.
Yep.
We couldn't see anybody. We couldn't hear anybody. And we were yelling and yelling for Dennis and couldn't find anything. And I tripped and fell at that point.
Oh,
and I ended up with a shard of bone buried in my right knee. Ripped through my jeans, right into my knee. And I didn't know what it was when I fell on it, but when I stopped and I put my light on it and I pulled it out, because you know me, I'm a paramedic, I'll just rip it out, put the dirt in it, and it's fine. I looked at it real close, and it was a shard of bone. Now, I don't know if it was animal or human, but what I tripped over was one of those 5 plots that have the mounding over the top in the semicircle that have the yucca plants, the Jerusalem thorns, as almost like headstones, because that's what I saw when I looked up after I got myself out of the dirt. I looked up and I saw the yucca plants, and I thought,
oh, wow,
what? Those aren't native to here. And that's when Dennis later told me that's what they would use to mark the graves of their dead. So I have pictures of the bone. I can post them on your site or what have you, but when the cabin got robbed, the bone got taken. But I have pictures of the bone, and you can see where it had been gnawed by, you know, by little critters with little teeth. But the interesting thing about it was you can still see the cap of the humerus where it articulates to the elbow, and the soft striation of it being cut off. The saw striations were so perfect, and it was just mind-boggling to me. So that was my first event out there. And then after I, you know, pulled the bone out of my leg, I looked up and I could see flashlights again. And I yelled for Dennis, and he yelled back, and he came and he got us, and we went back to the cabin to clean up my leg. And he was looking at the bone like, "Holy crap! You know, this is crazy." But that's the night that they discovered the 5 plots. Fell in them. But it was this whole time warp continuum of absolute, it was just me, that man, and his son. Nobody else was around. We could not find them. And all of a sudden, it was like a veil lifted, and now we could see flashlights, we could see glow sticks, but they weren't there for that whole event of me falling over the burial pit. It was just insane. And then we had gone out for another investigation. It was my first time. My husband, Robbie, had joined us. And, you know, when I walk into the house of the Brick Rancher, I open the door and I yell to Dobby, the basement elf, "Honey, I'm home!" I just tear the hell out of that thing because it pisses me off. And Robbie was in the house with us. When we came back out, we were all standing on the front porch of the cabin, and Robbie was leaning over the railing, and he was very quiet and separated from the group, and that's not him. He's an extremely social man from New Orleans, can talk to anybody, and loves to talk to people. So for him to be off by himself and unsocial was really strange. And I walked over to him, and I put my hand on his back and started rubbing his back and asked him, "Yo, baby, are you okay?" And he looked, his head rotated slowly, and he looked at me like he was about to rip my head off. I was not looking at my husband. Those were not his eyes. It was not his face. His face was contorted in anger. He's never looked at me like that. Even when I pissed him off, never. He's the gentlest spirit in the world. Well, Dennis was standing just to Robbie's right, and I looked up at Dennis and I said, "Something ain't right." He said, "Step away from him for a minute." So I did, and Robbie went back to just kind of leaning on the porch, and he just, his whole body was not, something wasn't right. It just was, you just had that feeling, this ain't right. Grabbed him by the scruff of the neck and said, "Come on, son, we got some stuff to do." He went out, put him behind the cabin, put him on his knees in the dirt and said prayers to St. Michael over him and kicked off Dobby. This, now, here's where it gets better. While he's back in the backyard praying with my husband to get this thing off of him, whatever this clinger was, my daughter, who's a flight attendant for Delta, calls me on the phone. And she says, "Mama, I just wanted to tell you before you hear anything on the news, I'm safe." I said, "What the hell happened?" She goes, "We had an engine fire. We lost an engine today in the air, and we had to make an emergency stop in Atlanta. But before you hear anything about it or see it on Facebook, I want you to know I'm okay." So not only did this thing attack my husband, but I firmly believe that it also attacked my daughter. So because I come at this thing full frontal, he can't attack me. He just can't get to me. But instead, he went around a back door and attacked the two people I love most.
Right. That's scary. That
so
something is so
Dobby
powerful.
And I have some words to have at the next event. So that little, I won't say bad words on your show, but that little and I are going to have a little minute. We're going to have a come to Jesus meeting because you don't mess with mine. That's just not right. But that was my second or third time to the cabin.
Oh, my goodness. My show's like X-rated, and people know that, or R-rated, so not X. R-rated.
Oh,
so
okay.
People know that there's going to be some cussing.
Okay.
Yeah, people know.
Yeah,
people
know it, but
it's an R-rated show. Or, yeah, R-rated. I keep saying X-rated. R-rated show.
Well, I'm not going that far. I mean, Dennis posting the banana pitcher day was bad enough.
I know. Let's hope this will ever seep out anywhere.
I was just trying to eat breakfast. I'm going to go back to talking about so not only do we have the cabin, which has been a known portal of coming and going of multiple spirits, not only do we have the Civil War soldiers, both Union and Confederate, but we have the brothel upstairs that is extremely active. We know that every business that's been in this building has failed within a year. We have the Brick Rancher, and there's the story of Melissa, which I'm going to encourage you to tell because you probably know way more about it than I do.
Well, at the Brick Rancher, there was this little girl that was getting ready to go to school.
Junior high.
Her stepbrother raped and murdered her and took her body out and shoved it in the cooler. So that is what happened.
I thought it was a refrigerator box or something. It was awful.
Refrigerator box.
Awful.
Yes, it was a refrigerator box. Thank you. So that is the story, part of the story on the Brick Rancher, and there's documented evidence that Melissa is still there. And her brother, of course, or stepbrother, went to prison, but he's been released since. It's a pretty active place. I'm trying to look at numbers as we're talking because I have some people calling in, and I want to make sure that if Dennis does call in, that I'm not leaving him off. So, sorry
Absolutely.
If I move around a little
No, that's okay. You check your numbers. Dennis has, and I'll tell the what Dennis has at the cabin about that. He has a copy of all of the newspaper reports and clippings that he could find on Melissa's murder and investigation and court reportings. And so, I mean, he's got the documentation about what happened in that house. It's in the cabin.
Yeah.
And if you take time when you come in and read that and then go over to the Brick Rancher, it's an entirely different experience. And then Dennis had mentioned that Melissa sometimes gets blocked off by Dobby, the basement elf, because she'll be like, gotta go, he's coming. And then poof, she's gone, because he won't let
right.
her be with us when he wants to come upstairs. And
right.
I find that to be interesting. So we've got the woods, we've got the cabin, we've got the Brick Rancher. And what we're going to do, ladies, is we're going to have one heck of a great slumber party. So check-in starts at 2 o'clock on the 30th of April, 2022. Dennis is going to be there to go over all this history in detail. He is the most phenomenal historian on this property. He's got the Civil War map, like, to the day of when they were on the property. And he's got death totals and how many people died and where, you know, to whereabouts they were and the distances from property. And he's got all the articles, like I mentioned, about Melissa. And then the stories he can tell about the cabin, about even him being asleep in the cabin and then waking up to find an elderly man standing at his feet, and that he drew his weapon and actually put a bead on it and it disappeared. You know, so he's going to go through some of that history during his tour. And we're going to go out during the day and we're going to see the cabin and the rancher and the woods during the day. Because I don't know if you guys are like me, but I kind of like to get acclimated to my surroundings before it gets dark. That's
right.
Just me. I want to learn where things are, including the bathroom. That's very important. But then once that happens, we're going to encourage everyone to go put out their sleeping bags or set up their tents wherever they feel brave enough to actually close their eyes and try to sleep later that night. So if you want to sleep in the basement of the Brick Rancher, bring your cot. Come on in. You want to sleep up in the brothel? You want to go camp in the woods? Awesome. We're just going to make sure, because we've got a, I'm a nurse and Gwen is a police officer, that as everybody checks in, when we get your name and you figure out where you want to sleep, that we know where you're going to be, so that as the event coordinators are walking the property at night, we can just kind of nose count, make sure everybody's where they're supposed to be and that everybody's okay. Because this property has been known to cause teams to evacuate the premise in less than 15 minutes of the beginning of their investigation. And these are seasoned professional teams that call Dennis up and say, come lock it up, we're leaving. Okay.
Yeah.
So we just want to make everybody safe and having a good experience. And then after you get your beds all set up and you know where you're going to be and you've checked in and told us where you're camping that night, we're going to have a nice potluck. So bring a dish to pass, bring snacks, soda. There's a Sam's Club and the grocery stores and things that we can make sure everybody gets to if they need to. And we're going to have a potluck. We're going to sit down and have a potluck. We're hoping that the shelter that is going to come on board to receive the donations will send a representative to come out and talk about what a domestic violence shelter is and what they do, so that we can answer any questions about that. And then, then you guys are going to get a chance to hang out and meet Gwen and Stephanie and Vanessa, and they're going to tell you about their experiences and what they do and how they do what they do. Gwen's going to be there with some of her books. She's a prominent author, and she's going to be there to autograph books if you want to buy a couple copies. We're going to break out our tarot cards. We're going to have a slumber party. We're going to have some fun. And then about 11 o'clock to midnight or so, we're going to get – Dennis said he's going to crack open the paranormal toolbox, and we're going to go investigate all these spots. So the ticket sales are limited to 30 people. So it's 30 participants plus Gwen, Vanessa, Stephanie, myself, and you, Jerry, and Dennis. So with six people there, we figure we can go in groups of five and rotate locations to keep things small so that you can really experience the activity there. Once we've rotated through the positions and we've gone through some time in each location, that's when we're going to encourage you to keep your tools running and see if you can go to sleep and find out what happens. In the morning, we're going to meet up. We're going to have a good breakfast. I'm some campfire breakfasty like. May do some cooking in the cabin, make some pancakes or such. I haven't quite figured out the details yet, but I love campfire cooking. So there might be some bacon and eggs in there somewhere. And then we're going to do a little blessing. Go ahead, Jerry.
No, go ahead. No, finish up. Please. I mean, keep talking.
We're gonna do a little land blessing. We're not going because it's Beltane, and we don't care what religion you are. If you're Christian, agnostic, Catholic, pagan, don't care. Everyone's welcome. Everyone can bring their prayers and their energy. Everyone can bring themselves to that portion. We're gonna bless the land. We're not blessing the land to clear spirit. We're blessing the land to thank spirit. Thank you for letting us know you're here. Thank you for showing us what's coming next. Thank you for communicating with us. And then we're going to take a little bit and we're going to clean that cabin, vacuum, Windex, clean bathroom, mop floors. And we'll do the same thing in the Brick Rancher. Give it a little woman's touch. Make it ready for the next investigation to come on. And then, of course, we're going to leave some flowers for Melissa. And if anyone has new toys, I don't want old, musty, smelly toys, but new toys like a teddy bear. We can't have a bunch of it, but, you know, if you've got something special you want to leave for her, we'll leave it in her room. You can write her a love note. We'll leave it in her room. If it can't stay there for long, you know, because the property is technically for sale right now and they are showing it, but if it's, you know, Dennis needs to clean it up, he can pack it up and take it on back over to the cabin. But anyway, we're going to do that, leave that for Melissa, and then we'll vacate ourselves out about 2:00 in the afternoon, so you'll have 24 hours solid on property. And, you know, weird things happen even in the daylight over there. Weird things happen when you're just scrubbing the bathroom. I mean, I was sitting in the bathroom, you know, doing my girly business, the one in the cabin, and there's that little water heater, and then there's an open space right across from the toilet. I'm sitting there going, okay, somebody's standing right here. Somebody's right here with me. I'm like, oh, what a weird feeling. So I just said, you know, thanks. I'll be out of your space in just a minute. I'll finish my business and I'll be gone. And then I did. And then an investigative crew came through the next week, and they were doing the, I can't remember what it's called, where they make the stick figures, where they can pick up an entity and it makes a little stick figure. And they shined that thing right into the bathroom, and standing right where I felt somebody was a stick figure.
Oh, my God.
You pervert.
That's creepy.
So weird.
I always feel like I'm being watched.
At all hours. You are. Stand in the bathroom and just watch with everybody.
Yeah, I feel like I'm being watched when I'm in that bathroom. It's not even a feel like. You are
being
watched.
Anywhere.
Yeah, there is no
feel
like.
He's right there looking at you.
Yeah, there is no feel like.
I think there's one bathroom in the Brick Rancher. There's one bathroom in the cabin, one bathroom that's working in the cabin. I don't think the upstairs bath works.
No, it doesn't.
If I'm right. So there's two bathrooms for 30 participants. So we just have to, you know, take time and go in pairs, because weird stuff always happens the minute you have your pants down.
Now, I don't know if I would want to go to the bathroom in the Brick Rancher. I'd be kind of, that's just kind of creepy. Like, how do you know Dobby ain't staring up at your butt cheeks when you're on the toilet?
Look, he can kiss those butt cheeks for a
while. Ew, it's like creepy, okay.
Now, speaking of Dobby, I thought it was interesting. Gwen's never had trouble with her computer programs to make the banners. But this time her computer crashed while she was making the banner for our event. I'm like, all right, Dobby, you starting it already, huh?
Mm-hmm.
That was crazy.
I'm
thinking that this event is going to be the best carryover slumber party. And if it goes over well, I would love to host another event. And like I said in the Facebook post, and to New Orleans, we can take these events all over to bucket list places like Trans-Allegheny or Winchester Mansion, if we can get in to investigate, or to the Whispers Mansion in Indiana with Van, and over to maybe the Hinsdale House. These are all places that boo bitches are willing to investigate with good, strong teams of female investigators. So I'm hoping that this will get a little bigger than just 360 cabins. But I couldn't think of a better place to start, because this place has it all.
Yeah. Yeah. And
now,
it has so
tell
much
me what you know. tell me what you know about our guests, because I've only met them by chat and phone calls, but I haven't had a chance to, I'm a horrible person, I haven't had a chance to read a bio or check out a fan page or anything. So tell me about Gwen Vanessa and Stephanie.
Well, Vanessa has been on my show. Vanessa Hogel has been on my show before, and she is the author of quite a few books, and you can actually find her on Amazon. She sells her books on Amazon. She does reading. She's a psychic medium as well. Miss Gwen, I have recently met, so you'll have to apologize, or I'll have to apologize. I know that Gwen and her have a t-shirt company together. Beyond that, it goes clothes and everything, and you'll have to apologize. Like, my shirt that I have is downstairs, and she's probably going to get me for not remembering the name of the company, but they do t-shirts, just everything you can think of, and I know that Gwen is a author as well. Now, Stephanie is a psychic medium, and I know that she does readings. I'm not sure about cards. I think she does do cards also, because I saw where she was doing I think she had a special one. It was like a 3-card draw for $10 or something like that. Very reasonable. So, you know, we have them coming on the show September 29th. So it's going to be really cool to, you know, have them come on as well and talk a little bit, just, you know, a little bit about who they are. And that's about all I can tell you with the guests that we have coming. Like I said, Vanessa has been on my show before, and we had a blast.
Well, I cannot wait to meet them in person.
Yeah, all three of these ladies, even though I haven't met Stephanie or Gwen in person, they haven't been on my show. I just, you know, recently, you know, have met them through our conversations. They're not the type of people that you have to get to know. There are some people, you know how that goes. You have to get to know them. With them, it's like a connection instantly.
They've never met a stranger. Any of them.
Yeah, it's instant
Stephanie's
connection.
Stephanie's hosting an event coming up here at the cabin pretty soon, aren't they?
Yeah, she has an event coming up. Oh, my gosh, I think I shared it to my Vibe Time page. August 29th. I'm not sure, but if people go to the Vibe Time with Jerry page, I know I shared it on there. Yeah, they got an event coming up. I do know that there is an event coming up to July 31st at the cabin as well. If you want to go on Virginia Paranormal Events page and look that up, or on the Cabin on 360's page also. But, yeah, she has an event coming up in August, if I remember correctly, and I hope I'm right, because I'm trying to – let me see if I can navigate here real quick.
Hopefully, yeah, because they still had tickets for sale. They were $60 a piece for their event, but it would be a chance for people to get to meet her and her partner.
Yes. Actually, they had a show last week, and it was so good, I didn't even want to do my own show. I love John Stevens, and he's the best. I mean, we're really, you know, good friends. We do things together, not just paranormal, but, you know, I know his sister Donna and Daryl, and he's the one who's going to build your golf cart in the future. It's actually John Stevens' brother-in-law. But
so,
can we talk for
just a second about how men can be involved in this Boo Bitches organization?
Sure, go ahead while I'm sitting over here trying to navigate her event.
Okay.
Please talk about it.
One of the things we're going to do is we're gonna post a link on how to donate directly to the shelter. And what's holding the link up is we're just waiting for the shelter to respond to us, because we don't want to blast them and give their name or use them in our advertising until we have permission. That's just not nice. So we're going to wait until they respond to us. But we're going to post a link on how to donate to the shelter with a list of items that the shelter is in need of. And anybody, male, female, animal, vegetable, mineral, whatever, can go to those links once we post them and donate money or items to the shelter. in the name of the bitches. And that's how men can be involved, because we're not going to have men
right.
at the event. And the reason being, we're not trying to exclude, but it is going to be an event where women who have suffered from domestic violence and abuse are going to be able to have a safe space to open up and, if they want to talk about their experience and to grieve that experience and maybe let some of that go. So we want that to be a women's only safe zone. So we're not trying to be exclusionary. But you can
no.
help by donating money. You can help by donating items and supplies. And the other thing that men can do that has nothing to do with boobages is be supportive of your partners. If they've experienced something like this and they want to talk, listen to them. Don't try to solve the problem. It's already happened, but listen. Be compassionate.
Right.
And you can also volunteer at your local domestic violence shelter, because they always need a fella or two around to help with our air conditioner went out. We need shelving put up. The toilet is plugged. You know, we're women. We don't know how to do all this stuff all the time. Most of us do, but sometimes we need a little help. So volunteering at
right.
your local domestic violence shelter is a phenomenal way to give back and to help. Because sometimes having a male presence provides a sense of safety and security when the only thing you were able to get out of the house with was maybe your car keys and your kids. And I can't tell you as a domestic violence counselor how often I was an advocate for many years for Safe Passage in DeKalb, Illinois. The women barely made it out with their lives, let alone any of their possessions. And we always had
right.
one gentleman on site at all times to answer the door, because these men would follow them to the shelter. So having a presence
oh, yeah.
there is always nice. Now, that's something you guys, if you want to consider it, would probably be relished in the community. So that's how guys can help in this event. And, of course, if you want to cook stuff and send it along with your lady, we'll gladly eat your barbecued ribs. Send them on. We'll eat them. Or if you make
yeah,
a really good cheesecake, we'll eat that too. So you can cook for the event. That's not a problem. Just send it along. One thing I do want to mention is that this is going to be a non-alcoholic event. Due to the emotional end of it, due to what the spirit that's already on property that can really mess with someone, we want everyone to be at the top of their game. So we can serve mocktails, but it'll be there's near beer here, but no beer near here.
Right. That's right.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be an awesome event. I mean, you've just got, like I said, you've got, like you said, the 24 hours to be on the premises. You have three special guests coming. It's helping a good cause. Overnighter, three places to investigate. I mean, and it's $60, and that, you know, that goes to domestic violence.
And everything we earn is going to the shelter. So if I go to Sam's Club and buy toilet paper, paper towel, 6 plates, press silverware, that's coming out of my pocket. That's not
yeah.
coming out of the fund. If I go
no.
and buy a bunch of soda pops, it's coming out of my pocket. Everything that is donated, every dollar that we for ticket sales, every dollar that's donated, every product that's donated, going directly to the shelter.
Right.
And I think that's real important
that's
right. for folks to know.
Right. I was still trying to look
and that's
for.
Why...
Go ahead.
Oh, the event. I said that's also the reason why it's a non-refundable event. I've had some questions about, you know, if I can't go. So, ladies, if you buy a ticket, and I know it's a ways away in the 2020, you know, into 2022, if you buy a ticket and realize, oh, man, I forgot my niece's wedding's that weekend, or you get sick or something happens that you can't come, you can gift your ticket to another person, another woman, to attend. And just let us know, and we'll change the names so that we have them on our roster. If you can't attend
right.
or you don't have anybody you can give your ticket to, your money's still going to go directly to the shelter, so that's a way to make a donation.
Right. Right.
So.
I just found her event. Duh.
Ooh,
it is at the Cabin on 360. It's at 7 o'clock at 7. So they have their event listed on the Cabin on 360's page.
Okay.
If anybody wants to going to that event. It's going to be with Stephanie and Eric. And I have not met them in person yet. Like I said last week, he had a really good show. Dennis was on there. If y'all can go back in and watch that. That was an excellent show. I mean, it was. Eric Knapp is his last name. And like I said, I didn't want to do my own show because I was just, you know, I think that's one of the best historical talks that Dennis has ever done. I don't know why I thought that, but that's how I felt. It just kept me sitting there watching. So, and Dennis has done a lot of presentations about, you know, the cabin on 360 and the history.
One of the places I'd love to see the Boo Bitches go is Pamplin Park.
Yeah, that would be cool too. And we can get there. We can go wherever, you know, wherever we want to go, as long as we put the work, you know, into it, and we have a pretty good team of people that we're working with.
Absolutely, but Henricus would be amazing. So would
yeah,
Gal,
Henricus
awesome.
Would be
all those ladies out in the woods.
Yeah, I've never been to Henricus, but I know I don't want to go by myself.
Wait, what did you say? What did I hear you say? You've never been to Henricus?
I have not ever,
girl.
No,
you live
I haven't.
Right close. You need to go.
I know. Cheeto friend. Cheeto sister. I haven't been yet.
You're going to have to blend the Cheetos. That's how we met.
Yeah.
I bribed you with Cheetos and became an instant friend because I shared my Cheeto pups with you.
Yeah, she shared her Cheeto pups with
my
me. That's how we established our beautiful relationship that we have today.
Cheetos.
Cheetos. Listen, Cheetos brings people closer together.
Yeah, because I need to wipe my fingers on your shirt.
No.
Come here. I'm going to rub your back for a second just to give you those cheesy streaks.
Yeah, I know. You would do that, too. Oh, my gosh.
No,
I'm going to have to watch her, one of the events.
I'd use Dennis's shirt. I'd use Dennis.
Yeah. No, our plan for Dennis is that we plan to hog tie him, put him in a pink wig, and paint his fingernails. We have it all figured out.
Oh, I don't know. I think I'm going to order him a set of those Cardi B, you know, clacker nails and glue them on his fingers while he's hog.
Girl, I have some of those. Like, I have hot pink Lee press-on nails. It's perfect.
They need to be longer. They need to be talons, you know, big, long Cardi B. Okay. I can't do it. Okay.
Oh, yeah, the ones where he can flick his fingers and then scare the crap out of us in the woods. I could just see this all coming to play.
Click, click, clickety, clack, clack, clickety, clack, clack. Oh, that's funny. I said, you know, I think I've got the same size feet as you, Dennis. I bet I got a pair of high heels somewhere you'd fit into.
He probably could.
That'd be worth it.
Anybody got a chance?
That'd be worth it.
Yeah, that would be.
Oh, Lord. Everybody shows up at a tutu. Oh, my goodness. That's funny.
Oh, my God. That would be hilarious. Like, we would be called sluts, honestly. We would be. Because I have a clear cut. I told you the night I wore my pink wig and I had on boots, tights, and a shirt. I can't remember the shirt I wore. And when I went out to the woods, we were running Necrophonics and the guy goes, "You slut."
Oh, no.
And it was so...
called you out.
Yes, he did call me out. It was so clear cut. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, because I guess I didn't match, of course, their time era. But I will never forget that recording.
Wow.
And I actually think we have it on a Facebook Live. It's somewhere down in my videos. We have that. We have that where he says, "You slut."
Wow.
Funny, not
you know,
funny,
I'm curious to think about what it will be like when an all-women group hits that land and all those soldiers.
Yeah.
You know, how many people are going to get touched? How many people are going to get their hair cut?
Yeah.
How many people are going to get their clothing pulled on? And
yeah,
I'm really curious about that. And then what's the reaction of the women in the brothel are going to be?
Right.
You know,
I wish I had an outfit where I could wear as like a trigger object, like an old, you know, old historian type outfit. Maybe if I lose some weight, I might be able to fit into one of Michael White's costumes. He's the only one I know that does the reenactments besides Chris, but I don't think Chris, I think he's too tall and his arms are too long.
Chris Valero?
I'm just curious. He might let me borrow a couple of things. I might be able to fit one finger in his arm.
They do have an entire closet of Civil War era costumes at Samplin that the reenactors wear.
Oh.
And I have a full set of Civil War widow's weeds, like the full hoops and the whole kibosh. I wonder if that would be a trigger.
I, you know what? I wonder if you could, like, lug that with you.
Well, I'll be driving down because one of the things we're going to try to do is have some kind of support for folks that do need to run to the grocery store, over to the 7-Eleven, or, you know, in case somebody gets hurt, we have, you know, if we don't need an ambulance, we have a car that can take someone to the hospital. Or even if you need
right.
ride from, you know, to and from the airport or to and from your hotel, that we can... That's another thing Dennis mentioned that we can talk about, too, because I don't know if everybody's going to want to stay on the property. Some people will be like, hell to the no. Once they get there, they're
right.
like, mm-mm, I ain't sleeping here. To find out if there's a hotel in Mechanicsville that would host a block of rooms. So if somebody doesn't want to stay, they could get a discounted hotel room, and then we would just, you know, give them a ride back and forth from the hotel to the tavern and back whenever they decided that they'd had enough.
right, because some people do. I mean, it's the cabin, I've seen it affect quite a few people, even myself. My very first investigation there, I had to leave the basement of the Brook Rancher because I had such an overwhelming amount of feelings, and all I kept thinking about was in there. I couldn't help it, and it was just so overwhelming that I've left. I had to get up, leave. I started to get nauseated. I started to taste metal in my mouth, and then when I got back to the actual cabin, you know, Michael asked me if I was okay because I just have never experienced anything like that investigating. And then the second time in the basement, something ran their claws up the back of my neck. And not only did they run it up the back of my neck, they ran it up John Stevens, the back of his neck too. So we both had to leave at that point. Cause when I start tasting metal, like a heavy metal, I know that blood has like a different taste. This wasn't the taste of blood like at Pamplin. When I was standing in that tent, I could taste blood. It was different at the basement. It was a whole yucky, metallic, nasty taste. Wasn't blood. So we had to leave. Because I just, you know, when I taste that, I know... From myself, I just exit because it's not a good thing to me. So I just, you know, left. But it's just been quite a few experiences there. But you could just...
Yeah,
I'm prepared
for people to come to us and say, like, I'm out. I got to go. We'll just take your name off the list and take you back to the hotel.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, come on back. And we'll come get you in the morning for breakfast if you want to come on back. But I'll have my dad Durango with me so we can at least provide rides if we need to.
Yeah, and I'll bring my smudge spray and kits with me too, just to, you know, make sure people are really good and cleansed. And, you know, because like I said, things happen. I mean, the last investigation that I helped lead, a lady just, she did not feel good. You know, it just made her not feel well, and she ended up having to stop. So, you know, you never know on any investigation what could happen. You just don't know. So, Yeah, but I know
there's
that
always a world of unknown.
Yeah, once we get our tickets all sold, then we'll talk to the. I thought it was the Holiday Inn Express that was there. If somebody could quote me if I'm wrong on that. I could have sworn that's what was like 7 minutes from the cabin. It's not far from the cabin at all. So, yeah.
Well, and that, those are arrangements we can make once we have the tickets sold. And then we'll start talking to members about what their needs are, all the way through from medical conditions and allergies to foods or allergies to out in the woods to what kind of camping gear to bring and bug spray and what the weather is going to be looking like. We'll have as much detail as we possibly can so that people can be prepared.
Right.
For whatever.
Yeah. Exactly. And hopefully it's a nice weekend that weekend. Hopefully it's nice all the way around as far as where that weekend is concerned, because even if it rained like we talked about, we still have the cabin in the Brook Rancher, so it doesn't. That doesn't matter, but we're hoping it does.
I'll put my rain boots on and my poncho and go out in the woods. I don't care. I'll put my rain gear on and go out there. No worries.
Well, yeah. I mean, I've been out. I've been out with when I went to Old House Woods. We've went there in the middle of a storm. We don't run equipment, but we have went out there and we do that. Hell, that's the best time.
I don't recommend umbrellas out there because all the trees and stuff and the fact that you can get pretty gnarly stuck. But if you got your rain poncho on and your rain boots, you'll be all right.
Yeah, you'd be all right. You can just be like one of these diehard Urbana Oyster Fest fans when they come out here and they don't care. It could be pouring lightning, rain, thunder, and they are diehard in their rain boots, umbrella, and raincoat. They're just diehard Oyster Fest people. Rain don't stop them from nothing.
Well, oysters, come on now.
Yeah. Yeah. So,
well, is there anything else we need to talk about that event? Has anybody asked any questions?
I didn't see any questions on my live. The only thing I saw was Gene Wells telling me to smile, and I wanted to say that it was too moist out, but he's done left my show.
Gene.
I was going to say it's too moist out, but he's already gone.
Well,
so I
hopefully
guess
we
I can't
bore
say that.
To death, but if you can come out to the cabin on 360 next year, April 30th, May 1st, we would love to have you ladies come out and do the first inaugural Blue Bitches event, and we'll see where it goes from there.
Yeah, I think it's going to go places. And, just to say, too, that there are a couple more events in between that. One is at the cabin July 31st. It's going to be with Holly Mullins. And then there's the second event, like I said, with Eric Knapp and Stephanie. I always mess it up. Hutnick, I hope I say that right. Please forgive me if I don't. Their event is going to be August the 14th. And like I said, you're never going to get the same thing at the cabin. So it doesn't – one event doesn't, take precedence over another one, if you will. There's just – there's always different energy out there every time I go. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
I never get
and
the
sometimes
same
you go
thing.
And
last. Yeah. I mean,
sometimes you go nothing happens, and sometimes you go and you're running through your car.
Yeah. Now, so far, I haven't had the experience. I haven't had that experience. I mean, when I was doing Reiki up there, when I was doing some Reiki and readings, which I will be doing that September 25th at the cabin, I'll be doing Reiki and readings. I'm going to bring my stuff out there and do that and have some of my stuff available.
Well, you're going to do that for the event too, right?
I am. Yes, ma'am. Indeed.
Excellent.
I'm going to do that for the event as well. So, I had my body cam on because I always wear a body cam when I go to any investigation. And the minute I hit them steps, the first thing the guy said was, get out. you know, so, you know, I'm like, oh, my gosh. But, that, you know, you just never get the same thing at the cabin, ever.
No.
So we got about 4 minutes.
I'm excited.
I am
4 minutes.
We've got.
Freaking four minutes. Sounds like a Justin Timberlake song. Didn't he sing a song called 4 Minutes with Madonna? I got 4 minutes to save the world.
Yeah, you got 4 minutes. 4 minutes and 21 seconds.
Oh, boy. What can we grump about for 4 minutes and 21 seconds?
Well, that is going to be really cool. I can't wait for the potluck.
You know, my biggest challenge is coming in from Illinois for the potluck. I mean, poor Hope is going to have to let me use her kitchen. So I can cook up
something. Yeah, girl, and I know you can do some cooking too, because I've seen some of your stuff on Facebook, and I just want to reach all the way to where you're at and eat it.
It's good. It's
I know.
Good.
I
love to cook.
I know. Yeah, I know.
And then we've been doing this low carb keto thing. You know, taking off 25 pounds doing it so far. And
awesome.
We eat like kings because it's so yummy. Everything is so tasty. So, I'm about to get loved on by the dog. Hello, dog. Hey, Daisy.
Yeah, I'm not quite there. I tried the keto. It didn't quite work for me. So right now I'm just watching what I eat. And I did manage to drink my 151 ounces of water today. You would be proud.
How many times were you in the bathroom?
Quite a few.
Yeah. Your body will adjust to that, though, and that will slow down a little bit. But I think it's awesome. Congratulations.
Thank you. That's not an easy chore, is it? No, it's not. I even went to the extremes of ordering just a big, gigantic jug, a 128-ounce jug, and then whatever I have to drink after that, I'll do it.
How was your dizziness today after you drank all the water?
My dizziness feels, before I got the water in, I was really dizzy, but my headache wasn't like it was, because I've been getting headaches every day for the last 2 weeks now. But that drinking the water, it kind of, I don't know, I feel different knowing that I'm more hydrated, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. It does. And it takes a while for your tissues to absorb everything they need, but you'll eventually get nice. I'll be happy. And I'm curious to find out how your dizziness is after you've combated dehydration.
Yeah, me too, because I honestly thought I was drinking the amount of water that I should have been drinking, and now I have found out through you that I was not. So I appreciate you. Because I was.
Just remember, anytime you ask a nurse a question, you have to get her a present for Nurses Week.
That's right. Oh, I won't forget. When Nurses Week comes up, you can, I'll be sending you something.
I think I'm going to need some Bubon spray.
Okay. It's done. You got an unlimited supply of that.
That's a pain in the butt.
You know you got
so
an unlimited. Yeah, that's my top secret special recipe.
Well, I'll tell you, it's awesome. I love it. I like to wear it as perfume. It smells so good.
Yeah. Well,
what's your time now?
Got 40 seconds to get our butt.
Okay. Well, Gary, thank you so much for having me on. And thank you even more for being my coordinator and partner in crime on this. I could not do any of this by myself, and being able to have such an amazing team to work with has been such a blessing. And you, my boo sister, are a rock star.
Oh, thank you. I love you. You're such a sweetie. From day one, I met you.
All right, plug your next show because you got 30 seconds.
I am. All right, I will talk to you later.
All right, love you, boo babe.
Love you too.
Bye.
Bye.
Welcome to the Freaking Awesome Show. And now your host, Ange and Ryan.
this irresistible creature who has an insatiable love for the dead.
All you freaks out there, this is Ryan, and we are here at Camp Hanover, week 3. I was talking to Kimmy earlier at dinner, and I was telling her, it's weird, it feels like we've been here, like, a year.
Really?
I swear, that's the longest, it's not bad, per se, but it feels like this is the longest 3 weeks. You know,
it's going by really quick.
I think I might look back on it when I'm done with it, like, and be like, okay, this might went by really fast. But being in the middle, it's like when we had RJ and we were, like, going through it, and it didn't seem like it was going by that fast until we got to the end, and we look back on, like, man, it went by really fast.
Yeah, that last month flew by, though.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm sure...
It seemed a little longer for me.
Yeah, well, everything, yeah. I mean, in the moment, I guess. But you look back on everything, it feels like it just flies by, you know. But
this is a minute.
Yeah. Before you know it, we'll be back home doing the freaking awesome show from our kitchen.
Yeah.
Again.
I'm super thankful.
Super.
I'm super thankful to be here. You know, I was just thinking about that. I just got called to the healthcare center, and I was walking back, and I was like, how lucky am I to be here? you know, to be basically working outdoors.
Yeah.
To be around and touching, like, a bunch of kids' lives. And, like, those kids were so thankful for me showing up over there. And they were like, oh, thank you, Nurse Angela. Thank you, thank you. And, I mean, just being so kind and appreciative for, and I did nothing. I put cream on bug bites.
Hey, that cream does a lot. Yeah.
To a six-year-old, seven-year-old, it was the world. And, you know, I'm lucky to feel this fulfilled in my job. You know, I'm lucky that RJ is literally sleeping, what, maybe 20 feet from a goat pen and can just run out and
see
goats.
We saw a deer today.
Yeah.
You know, it's
deer.
It's nice. It is nice out here. But
beautiful.
And you think about, like you said, you know, these kids are making memories here at the park at the camp. And, you know, they're having a good time, and you're going to be part of their memories. Like, oh, remember Nurse Angela? Man, she was so cool. She had the best bug cream.
She gave me a Jolly Rancher.
Yeah, man. I love
going
over there.
We have to find Starburst tomorrow because a little kid broke my heart. You know, I was giving them after they were all so excited and thankful for me just putting cream on their bug bites. I decided to give them all a Jolly Rancher, and this little boy looked up at that meeting and was like, but I don't like Jolly Ranchers. I'm like, sorry, kid, that's all I got. So tomorrow we have to borrow some.
We'll buy some Starburst for him, make sure everyone's happy.
That's right.
But,
I feel so bad.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know. At least we're making the effort, and we'll buy him Starburst tomorrow.
Yeah,
but he's one of the people only like a certain kind.
I hope not.
You know, I saw the other day at Walgreens when I was coming to buy, what was I going to buy? Something.
Super glue.
Yeah. Archie got a hold of our daughter's glasses and decided to snap them. So I went to Walgreens and found. It was a display. Didn't have them there, so Arthur would have bought them. All lime Skittles.
Ew.
That's gonna be part of our little thing we're doing. Where we buy weird candy, we keep it in our top drawer, and sell it
in
50 years to make like $10 or something like that. So far we've got the Skittles that got warm in your mouth, birthday cake, Kit Kats, and I think Fruity Pebbles, like Christmas bar or something. Yeah, we've got the radio going. She's the nurse at the camp. Yeah, so sometimes if I sound like I'm distracted because I have that going on. Now they're singing. Okay, I'm going to tell you a story.
All right, let's hear the story.
The story of how I hurt my foot.
Oh, my God.
It's a harrowing tale. Oh, my God. So last Saturday night, second Saturday afternoon, my friend Michael came over.
Our friend Michael came over
to show me the graveyard on this property. He used to dig out here. His teacher was part of an archaeological dig out here in the early 90s. So he came out here to help out, and he found out there was a big, like a family graveyard here on the camp property. He was like, we'll go out there. Maybe I'll figure it, I'll do some EVP sessions or something, take my phone out there and, see what we can find. So we're going up. I have my work shoes on because I left my regular shoes at home. Like, I work at Pizza Hut, so I got the Pizza Hut non-slip shoes. They're not the best hiking shoes in the world, anyways. So I'm walking. We're walking to the graveyard. We go into the woods, and there are these little bridges you have to cross. It's just like a pallet of wood. You like little small little walking bridge. First one I walked over just fine. Second one wasn't exactly the most secure bridge in the world. Like half on, half off. Michael, he walks across the bridge no problem. And, I hit the wrong part of the bridge. I stepped on it, hit the wrong part of the bridge. The bridge collapses, all right? I fall down with the bridge. I twist my ankle twists up underneath me. I fall out off the bridge into the creek, or like a dry creek bed.
It was a creek.
Creek bed. And I muscled, I got myself up. I pulled myself out of the creek like a man. And I was like, I got to it. I'm like, I can do this. Start walking up. All of a sudden, I'm like, oh, nope, I can't. Pretty much just fell over again. So, but, yeah. So I ended up twisting my ankle and spraining it. I thought it was worse than it is. Although it's not, no. It's not completely like, healed or, you know.
You
doesn't feel good.
For everything you
and it, you know, I am hurting right now. And following, chasing RJ around. And yes, I am milking it for I'm in pain, darn it, and you're going to know about it. So I'm in this little slipper-looking thing. My ankle's all swollen up.
It is not.
It is a little bit swollen up.
It's a little bit swollen up,
so I got to go over to the doctor's. So I'll plan on being fine by next week or whatever, but for right now, I'm limping ain't easy, as they say.
You're dying.
I'm hobbling around, chasing RJ around. He was last yesterday. He had done something, and I couldn't get to him. He was like, na 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 na. I was like, you son of a.
you son of a me.
That's all I had to say. All right, so tonight we've got Beyond the Veil Paranormal coming on the show tonight. They actually came out to the cabin. That's them right there. See the question mark?
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
them. 443, baby. Woo! They actually came to the cabin on 360 last month or a month before last, and they got some pretty awesome evidence. Got some great AVPs. And so I was like, you know what? We should talk to them.
Let's do it.
Yeah. I think we should go ahead and put them on the show right now. We babbled on enough. I bitched and moaned enough on my ankle.
Yeah, you've milked that.
You know, I think if I send me any sympathy cards, we'll give you the edge. All right. We will talk to them. We'll go ahead and put them on the show right about now.
Hello.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Hello. Welcome. How are you?
We're doing just fine. How about yourself?
We're good, you know.
Making it over here.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes, I'm barely stitched together over here. You know, but I'm pushing through the pain just to, you know, get through this show for you with you, because, you know.
Understood.
What I do with
That's,
you. What I do for you.
Right. I can imagine, like, when I saw you posted that about your son running away. That is your son, correct?
It is my son, yes.
Okay, so that's when I saw the post. I looked at the comments, and then I saw that you had stood on a bridge and it collapsed, and I was like, I've been there before, so I know that feeling.
you've actually stood on a bridge and it collapsed?
Yeah, so it's just like a partial, it's like a kind of like a crossover between two parts of a wooded area. So it was just like a really narrow kind of crossover. But, yeah, I've stood on something like that and had it collapse before. So
it must be a Ryan thing.
Yeah.
We just cross bridges when we stand on.
Right.
If you see us crossing the bridge, better watch out.
Yeah, I'm not walking behind you.
It may not last very long. I was like, after I put that on the post, I'm like, people are going to think I'm a fat ass.
No.
Oh, you should have broken the cage and it fell down. Oh, my God.
I've probably been there since 1957 when this camp was open. So.
Like I said, it was like, I was almost diagonal. Like, it was like warped and it was like half on, half off. And even Michael had said, this is going to be a treacherous bridge. I'm like, yeah, I know. And then, yep, I was right. Very treacherous.
Famous last word.
Exactly. So how is your summer going?
It's going pretty good. We got our daughter, she's 11, and she's home out of school for the year for the summer. So that's been fun with us both working and my fiance working in the medical field and me trying to run my small business doing title research. It's been kind of a struggle, but it's going. We've done some pretty cool things here and there with her and been able to get out of the house and go do little – really close by day trips and things like that.
I love it. It's such a fun age. Because
yeah.
you're still like,
it
they
is.
Still want to do stuff with you. You know, you're still
right.
kind of cool.
At our campsite.
You know, I've lost that.
Yeah, it's
been, with my daughter.
It's been, it's been an experience, man.
Trust me. You know, when she gets older, you know, it's different, but it's fun. It's still fun. Like, reality,
right.
she's 18
right.
now, and it's like a whole different kind of like relationship. And my other daughter is 15, and
yeah.
she's getting into that.
Oh, wow.
She still wants to spend time
yeah.
with me, though. You know, it's so nice because, you know, we're at camp for the summer, as you probably heard. And Timmy will just walk in
yeah.
in the mornings when she gets up and hang out in the health care center with me. And
that's awesome.
So it's so much fun. It's so much fun.
Hang
that's
out
cool.
slash hide out at the nurse
yeah,
health center. Cause
right.
I'm over here chasing the demon around. The,
into the paranormal.
So... when I was a kid, right around the age of, I guess if I could really remember, I started having paranormal experiences at a very young age where my aunt currently lives in Delaware, used to be my grandmother's house. She now lives with my parents, like not even 5 minutes across the highway where their house is now, where I basically grew up in both houses. Both of which I had paranormal experiences starting at the age of 6.
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow.
So that kind of, I guess you would say, kind of sparked questions with me at a very young age. What was I experiencing and things like that? Because
yeah.
I kind of saw them as, you know, as a kid, this was things that were scary, but other people were experiencing it. Too, I mean, family members and friends of the family in the house. So I kind of saw it as a normal thing. And as I grew older and my parents bought the house where they live now, I was right around the age of 16 and paranormal experiences started there as well. For an example, the first night we stayed at my parents' house, the night they started moving in, all I had in the room upstairs was a recliner. And there's a closet that's pretty large in the room that the door opens in, and there was a mirror hanging on the wall so I could see the reflection from the room into that closet, and I'm trying to sleep. And I just kind of had an uneasy feeling throughout the day and didn't really, like, think about it a whole lot. And I started getting that feeling again as I was trying to sleep, and I looked in the mirror and saw – a woman looking out from behind the door, watching me try to sleep. And what got me, what really confirmed that I knew that something was actually there watching me was I watched the hand, the fingers drag backwards off the door, back behind the door, and then the head moved back. So that was kind of a weird moment, I guess you would say. And from then on out, I really started trying to research what I was experiencing. So right around the age of 16, 17 years old, I started really investigating and doing research online and documenting things and whatnot. And that kind of led me to here. So I've been investigating for, this would be my 18th year as an investigator and researcher, but I didn't really go, I guess you would say, public with what I did until about 5 years ago, 6 years ago. I just, it wasn't something that us around here, not me personally, but just the community, it wasn't as accepted as I thought it would be. So I was a little hesitant to really talk about it with others and things like that. My fiance, even, she knows pretty much everything that I've experienced from conversations, and she's been investigating with me for years now too. And we just founded Beyond the Veil, I think it was in 2019, and it's just us now. And we go around and investigate locations as much as possible, and it's been a learning experience and a reality check for her as well, because when we first started, she was 100% skeptical of everything. She was curious and had basically thought that she had paranormal experiences from time to time. And we did an investigation at St. Alvin's. We've done two, and we're booked for a third, and then COVID hit. But we had the one time that we went, which was the second time, we had crazy experiences. It was, we had a bowling ball roll at us in the bowling room downstairs. There was multiple shadow people walking from room to room. You could see them clearly. It was like that dark that's darker than dark, if you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I've seen that.
And then, yeah, but we had that, and then we had the, I guess we consider them to be like elementals. It's little blips of light here and there, but they're different colors. They almost are like tracers. They trail. And you could physically see them with your naked eye without the IR cameras or, you know, full spectrum, anything like that. You could physically see them throughout the room. And we also, the time before, just on a preliminary walk of the location, we had a green ball of light about the size of a softball come up out of the floor and then went back down. And the guy that was doing the tour with us of the building said that he had never seen that before. Well, as he's talking, like, did you see that? And replying, it came back up and then did a full circle around me and went to the bowling return, the bowling ball return. And when it went over towards the bowling ball return, it was so illuminated that my fiance thought that we had shined the flashlight in her face. So it was confirmed by multiple people that we weren't just, you know, thinking we saw something. This was something that illuminated the entire downstairs in the bowling room, which is also the same spot where we saw what we consider to be the elementals and saw the shadow figures down there. So that was an eye-opening moment for her. And then from there on out, she has been head first, let's go. And it's been an experience, man. But we're still learning, and obviously that never stops as an investigator. But we're still learning what works best for us, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that's what you gotta do. You've gotta, you know, experiment and just do what you gotta do to see what works for you, man. We love St. Albans.
Yeah, it's a great place.
Out there,
absolutely,
a few times. I've never heard of that ball. I've never heard of that happening out there. But
yeah,
again, so much stuff happens out there. I guess I don't know everything.
Right, right. It's, you know, and when it happened, obviously, when anything like that, obviously, is going to be kind of unexpected. But even though we were already on edge when that happened, it was like, yep, that confirms everything that we were coming here for, that, you know, that was reassuring that we were in the right place at the right time. So,
and it's so,
like I said,
it's
she was
so cool. That,
she was. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I was gonna say it's so cool that you all saw it. It wasn't just one person. Oh, you see that? That nobody else saw it. You know,
right?
It's
exactly.
A shared experience.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah, it's such a beautiful location. It's kind of, if you can look past the, I guess, the dismal side of things there, it's, you know, there's so much history to the building, not just St. Albans, but locations in general that people, you know, it's really like, it's a piece of history. I mean, we're opening doors to things and basically what I mean by that is this is history that not a lot of people get to see or read about. It's investigators and paranormal researchers that kind of open others' eyes to what actually happened at these locations and the local areas aside from, you know, politics and things like that. This is, you know, based on facts and written in history, but kind of tucked away and forgotten. And then we come along and you know, basically display it for the world to see. And that's just something we kind of don't want to take for granted. So we bring that up quite a bit that, you know, it's always about not just investigation, just the research in general and the history. That's what I think really keeps us interested is the fact-based history.
Not just the hauntings that are going on. I have a question.
Sure.
About, so your fiance, you said, was in the healthcare field, and I am as well. So I feel like most people in the healthcare field are very scientific-minded. So
absolutely.
When she goes about investigations, is she the more logical one that's like, you know, always tries to find the answer before, you know, they're like, oh, this is paranormal? Or
is
she just full on convinced?
Right. No, this is, we're extremely skeptical even when we see things with our own eyes. It's like, we try
that.
To debunk.
I love that.
Right. It's a good trait to have. It's, you know, we've thrown out so much evidence that we know is, you know, has a huge potential to be paranormal. But if we can't physically prove that, you know, this can be 100% debunked and deemed paranormal, we don't put a label on it, because we try to provide as much truth to our evidence as possible. So we actually were going to do, and this is cool, I didn't really get to share this with many people, but I'll share it with you guys. I know Ryan, he's are you a caretaker as well at the cabin?
Yeah, well, my family owns the property.
Oh, that's amazing. So this is kind of
cool.
So we have a theory.
Mm-hmm.
We've been studying it for quite some time now, and I've bounced ideas off of other researchers, and we were actually going to test this at the cabin when we were there, but unfortunately it was extremely rainy and just didn't work. The environmental conditions weren't up to par with what we were trying to accomplish. But we have a theory that when you think a paranormal experience, like the physical side of it, when you hear that, having a paranormal experience, most people claim to have had disorientation and physical illness. Typically, it's nausea or you know, they feel really cold, or they're just physically
mm-hmm.
affected in some form. And it's very similar to when you hear somebody talk about altitude sickness or altitude change. So we have a theory that we were going to test and try to confirm with instruments and things like that. Like, we brought an altimeter and data loggers and things like that, and we were going to test that theory to see if when a paranormal experience occurs, does the environmental conditions change just like an basically altitude, you know, and the
mm-hmm.
environmental conditions with that. But like I said, the conditions weather-wise weren't up to par, so we scrapped it immediately, unfortunately, because it was not going so well off to start. Things were not in our favor, but we want to come back to the cabin and test that theory. But I just wanted to share that with you because we haven't been able to speak on that subject very much, but that's where we were planning to try that.
Well, I think that's an interesting theory, and I would love for you to come back and test it out sometime. Like I said, I'd love to, you know, have you back and actually, you know, talk to you and stuff, and you know, meet your fiance. And like, I'm sorry, I missed you guys last time you were here. I would love to, like I said, I'd love for you guys to come back and test your theory out. You got some pretty cool stuff at the cabin last time you were out there.
I really appreciate that. Yeah, we'd love to. We really want to start looking at dates to see when we can come back out. We'd love to meet you guys and maybe even do a little bit of investigating to kind of share what we do.
Mm-hmm.
with you guys. We always love meeting new investigators and hanging out. We're pretty open-minded and things like that. So it's like we love meeting new people that share the same passions as us. But we actually stopped reviewing some of the audio to reanalyze some of our previous audio from the cabin and the house next door. And when we came, we originally started in the cabin, and I was testing, I do studio recording as well for music, and I brought some of my studio equipment with me to run a boom mic in the middle of the room to do a live EVP session with a dynamic microphone and watch it in real time in my studio software. And we have audio from that that we have still yet to review, and we have two other recorders that we still haven't reviewed yet, but we're analyzing things again and still finding things. And at this point now, we have anywhere between 13 and 16 EVPs.
Wow. Wow, that's incredible. A lot of times people go places and they'll get maybe one or two EVPs, and they're, you know, even not even really that
it
clear. But you get 13 EVPs.
That's
amazing.
Exactly. We've never had, to be completely honest with you, we've never had that many at one time. And when we went into the cabin and set up some of our equipment here and there, and we took almost everything that we had and threw it in the buildings to try to capture every angle possible. And we had six recorders, that dynamic microphone hooked to my studio software, three 4K cameras, a body camera, a Sony X1000B action camera, and then two other cameras. So we had – oh, and also we had a four-channel DVR ran at the house next door with – EMF meters everywhere, and it was, you know, we gave it all we got, and it paid off. But what was extremely weird was we had hardly any interaction as far as, like, a physical experience or things
mm-hmm.
directly communicating with us in real time. It was almost as if it wasn't really wanting to, I guess, directly talked to us, but had a lot to say, which was really weird, because when we went in Melissa's room, that was, to me, probably the best area where I could say that we should try more experiments as far as communication with, like, the data logger and things
mm-hmm.
like that. But we were trying to cover a huge area in a short amount of time with two people. So it was like we were really bouncing around. But when we left and came back home and started reviewing, we were like, oh, my God, we have so much evidence right now. But it didn't seem like it when we left. We knew that we had caught things, but we didn't know the extent of how much we had actually captured until we started plugging the recorders in and then – looking at the DVR system, we had approximately, roughly to say, 38 hours of just video. And we looked at every single second of that, literally on a 65-inch TV in our living room. We would come home from work and we'd plug it in for a couple hours and we'd just repeat day after day until it was done. And we captured some pretty interesting things. One of which being, which is very odd, I know the front of the house that faces the road on the house next door to the cabin, there is no windows in the basement downstairs. I know there's the panel on the bottom, but that does
yeah.
not illuminate or anything like that. It doesn't allow any kind of light to penetrate to basically illuminate anything in the basement. And we've captured, it's a light anomaly that flashes next to where the ductwork would start. If you're facing the house, it would be far left. So it's a anomaly that flashes, and then it travels down full length of the ductwork, comes off of the ductwork, illuminates on the chimney, goes back up, and then it looks like something roughly the size of maybe two basketballs, exits the window on the backside of the house.
Was that – so that wasn't like – so was that inside the house you caught that, or was it because like
yeah,
in the basement?
This was actually
okay.
In the basement, yeah.
All right, it wasn't enough headlights from a car? Because sometimes when you're downstairs, when a car goes by,
yeah,
you can see the headlights in the it'll illuminate, the headlights will illuminate the basement from the little small window panels.
So that was our first guess. We even considered the thought of us being outdoors, coming up, shining a flashlight into the window. But once we started basically picking it apart, we had cameras running in four rooms, and then we had the three 4K cameras, two of which we carried around. One was stationary, and then we left two at the cabin to record while we were not in the building. So while we were debunking, we noticed a kind of a trend. There was over 20 hours of DVR footage where not one car going by illuminated anything in the building, in the basement. We even tested the theory of us walking up with a flashlight. At that point, if we were walking from the cabin and shining it left, it would have illuminated the side of the ductwork, but it wouldn't have been able to travel down because of the angle that we were standing at walking towards the door. So we went through a lot of really consideration when we tried to debunk it. But what was odd was watching it travel down the ductwork and then coming off of the ductwork onto the side of the chimney and then back up, and then something exiting the window in the back. You can clearly see it block out the edge of the frame of the window and then exit, which was super bizarre because that is the only capture that with any kind of – really, it was the only piece of footage with any kind of light, including with cars going by, that we captured on the DVR, which made it, to us, really, really interesting. So,
wow, that is awesome. I need to – have you shared that one yet? Or
I actually just edited it down. It's in the video, but I actually edited that clip down into an 18-second clip. So once we're done, I can send that to you through – actually, I could inbox to you right now through Facebook Messenger if you would prefer that.
That's fine. Yeah, that's cool. Definitely.
So I'll do that real quick. But it was – like I said, it was out of 20-plus hours of video footage, hearing and seeing the cars go by on the other cameras and then seeing that. And here was another thing, too. We had recorders in every room, so you could also hear the cars going by, so we tagged that. And we would have heard the car going by, and it's silent. So, it was pretty
true.
Interesting to see.
That is amazing. We have you heard of Twisted Paranormal Society?
Yeah.
Out here, they came out. They filmed a show out here, and it was back in like 2017 or something. Like when we first started, letting teams come in and investigate the cabin, and they set up a camera in the back room of the cabin, and you can see it's facing the window. The window's facing the backyard where the fire pit is, and you can see a orb of light travel by the window, turn and travel through the window towards the camera. Now, it was filmed in December, and there's no way the window would have been open because it was like 15 degrees outside or something like that. It was really cold that night. And
wow. I think if it's the same clip, Dennis showed me a clip of something. I think it was the second floor at the cabin, the far, like if you go up the stairs, you turn right, it was the room at the back.
Mm-hmm.
That he showed me a clip from that, but I'm not sure if it's the same.
That was there. It was downstairs in like the room right below the room where the black light is or was.
Okay, gotcha.
Because you go straight down the hall past the bathroom and you go to the room at the end of the hallway. Yeah, okay. it was in that room. They had the orb come through the window like that. But you're right. You go on these investigations, and like you said, you really don't think you have much stuff because nothing. A lot of times, stuff doesn't happen in real time. It's when you get home and you listen to the stuff, and you like, oh crap.
This place
wasn't that great. This place is pretty cool. Yeah. I've got tons of stories about that. You know, when you get EVPs, and there's some EVPs you get, you take your earphones out, you like look at them, you put them back in your ears again, because you can't believe what you just heard. Like, what is that?
Exactly.
What the hell?
Exactly.
And it is such a great feeling. And it never goes away. It's just, it always excites me when I get a good EVP, no matter where I'm from, where I get it from, the cabin or St. Albans or, you know, Gordonsville or, you know.
It's motivating to think about it.
Yeah. It's almost like a drug. You want it to keep
exactly.
going. You want to get more of it.
Exactly.
You know? And like you were going to have when your girlfriend saw that orb at the or that ball of light or energy or whatever at St. Albans. She was skeptical,
right.
And then she saw that, and it's like a light turned on. And I wish
exactly.
I could flip everyone's lights on. Say, hey, this is what
right.
this is real.
Exactly.
But until you experience it yourself, it's you don't really know. You know, you
right.
can watch ghost shows.
Right.
Yeah.
And I feel like they're extremely, and we've talked about this as well, I feel like they can just, entities in general, can be extremely selective with who they, I guess you would say, let see what they do or see them physically and things like that or speak, you know. I feel like they can be just, like generally speaking, selective with who they allow to communicate with them, you know. It's almost like they can sense our intention or how open we can potentially be to or willing to communicate with them. You know, a lot of different things have happened in situations that were completely unexpected for me personally, walking into locations, just having a general conversation and then having an experience, you know. It's like, it's never on cue, but it could be in a lot of ways. You just have to make that effort and be genuine, just like you would be with an actual person. You know, they used to be people too. So we approach them very respectfully and open ourselves up a little bit and show a genuine side of us and try to give them a good personal impression to potentially communicate. So it's been really fun, like I said earlier, learning what works best for us. And that's just been really the main thing, is being kind and being genuine and open, opening ourselves up to want to listen to them, you know, not just there to ask them, what's your name, you know, how's your day,
yeah.
you know, just not general questions, you know, not just questioning them the entire time, just having a conversation. So that's been pretty cool.
Yeah, that's the hard part for me, is trying to get personable with them when I don't have someone, like, answering my questions or, you know,
right.
That we're having a one-sided conversation with somebody, you know. It's tough.
It's
difficult. You know, try not to go. Yeah, you try not to go with the basic, you know, what, you know, how old are you? But you kind of have to get, like,
you do.
Get like a base,
right.
You know, and I mean, I realize when I ask these questions, I'm probably not going to get an answer, you know.
Right.
But
right.
I make it something. You know, it's like
putting bait on a
lure and throwing it into the water, hoping to get an answer or a catch or a bite or something.
Exactly.
Yeah. You know?
I completely agree with you. I completely agree.
Yeah. I mean, so it's fun. It's It's, I was going to ask you what kind of method you use when you're questioning, or as you said, questioning, like it's like at a police station or whatever. But when you're trying to get a response, when you're, you know, it's just because a lot of people have different ways of conducting an EVP session,
Right. So typically, what we generally try to do is just, like I said, was basic conversations. We do ask basic questions, obviously. We, like you said, too, we have to in a lot of ways, but opening or starting that conversation has been more of like an experience for us, because we realize, like you said, once you ask that question, you're like, man, I really shouldn't have started that conversation like that. It's just, you can do that in real time with a real, living person as well. I know we say things that we wish that we could change. So it's just like that. But we start typically with, we lay out our equipment and we'll set down our recorders and we'll present ourselves. And for an example, like we'll say, hi, my name's Ryan and this is Alex. We're just here to visit your beautiful location. We would like to spend some time with you. If you would like to walk around with us, maybe show us some of your favorite rooms in the house, or if you have a favorite toy or things like that, we would love to see it. Like, just basic conversation, and try not to offend them and present ourselves like, we're here, this is our place. We're aware that, they are still here. This could potentially be their home in some form. So that's kind of how we approach it. And typically when we even conducting EVP sessions, we set out equipment in case they want to interact. And we basically tell them that if they want to make any of the lights go off, if they could make it go off once for yes or two for no, if they stand near the devices, specifically the EMF meters, can you make it go to a specific number? Things like that, so we can really get a solid piece of evidence, basically, that's not going to be able to be debunked. So that's kind of how we go about that. And it fluctuates. Not every day is the same. Not every investigation is the same. But that's kind of what we try to stick with, is just being personable with them and showing respect and letting them walk us through it and giving them the time to speak to us instead of just bombing them with questions right off the bat.
Oh, shoot. I had myself
you
on
there?
Mute.
You were on mute?
I was, yeah.
Oh.
I did great soliloquy. Soliloquy? Yeah, it was. I pretty much solved world hunger here over here. I've world peace is now, but no, not anymore. It's done. Basically, I push mute? I don't even know why I pushed mute. Let's talk. Hang on, I gotta taste something real quick. This is great for radio, by the way.
I think I know why he put it on mute, because like, I had someone come in, and I had to, address an issue. And then I went to make some Gatorade. So I think he was scared.
Oh,
that,
my God.
I know, I need to add water. I think he was scared that someone was going to hear all that.
I forgot I had my earbuds in. I have an AirPods on. They wouldn't be able to hear it anyway.
But now that we're off, and when there's only, like, 9 more minutes left of the show, I'm going to ask my very favorite question. My favorite question is, if you could, what is on your paranormal bucket list? If you could go to 3 places anywhere in the world, money's not an issue, and investigate, what is your top 3 must-dos?
I would say Vlad's Castle, the Ram Inn in the UK, and maybe even Alcatraz. I'm kind of leaning that direction as well.
Good one. Good.
Yeah, I mean, I would go there. That sounds awesome. This is a great location.
Yeah, I've really favored the Ram Inn. That's one place that and Vlad's Castle.
We
that's
just the big pavilion.
I've always loved those locations.
You can meet us there. That would be amazing.
So what do you guys have coming up with Beyond the Veil Paranormal?
So we've been pretty much trying to get ourselves back to Pennsylvania. Really, it's we have to rebook, really. We had a cancellation at the Samuel Miller Mansion in Columbia, Pennsylvania. This would be our second time filming there, so we're going back there, but there's no specific date yet, probably sooner than later, because we have some things in the works to continue with our last investigation that we really need to film that we didn't get to last time. So the Samuel Miller Mansion, we have plans to go back to Gettysburg, and we're hoping to come back to the cabin very soon as well. So
I think we need to have a part two of this conversation, because there's a lot of stuff that I did not get to, I wanted to get into with you that we did not get to. So
sure.
Maybe later
I would
on
love
the year.
To,
I'm trying to maybe October. We can
sure. That sounds good.
We can have you back on the show, because, like I said, we're kind of just scratching the surface of stuff I want to talk with you about tonight. So I want to thank you for taking the time to come on the show with us tonight.
I appreciate you guys having me on.
Yeah, we'll definitely appreciate it, and we'll be sharing some of your videos and stuff, of course, with all your other investigations, not just the cabin ones. You know, we'll share all your stuff, and maybe we'll have you out. Maybe have you guys out as a special guest investigator at one of our public events we have down here as well. That
would
be awesome.
We would absolutely love to.
For that.
That would be awesome, man.
So
we really appreciate it.
No problem. We'll get in touch with you about that. And we got some stuff coming up here. Maybe you guys can get involved in with us. So we'll be in touch. And
awesome,
we will talk to you in a few months and see what
thanks,
what,
man.
What you guys have going on. All right, man.
I truly appreciate it, man.
You no problem. You have a great time. I appreciate great time. Great night. And I appreciate
too.
You coming on the show. And
thanks
dude,
so much.
This campaign's good to me. All right, talk to you later. Have a good one.
Bye.
Take care, guys.
Good night.
See ya.
Bye. You can tell I'm a professional broadcaster here. You know, putting people on, putting myself on the
Yeet. It was so
hot, you know?
Today, though. Like,
yeah.
It was so hot.
It was pretty bad. I think I might have. I think I'm going to have Lyle Watts on the show next week.
Yay.
I hope Fauna
as well.
Or
is it just Lyle?
Might be John Clem.
Maybe you should do some research.
No. Is it Lyle Watts or John Clem? And then we have Holly Mullins coming on the show on a special, which is, I'm sorry to say this, but a special Sunday night episode with Holly.
Well, you know
yeah.
I won't be here.
No, she won't be here.
Responsible for RJ, so good luck with that.
I think I got him to sleep at 8 o'clock. She's coming down to do her having a event at the cabin. She's doing a seance and has them doing some reading to the cabin on the 31st of July. So if you're in the area and you want to come down and hang out with us at the cabin on 360 on July 31st, we'll be there all day. So.
And probably all night.
Probably all night. So we're looking forward to it. And thanks again to Ryan Seymour from Beyond the Veil Paranormal for coming on the show. Thank you for that. And we will talk to you next week. Same freaking awesome time.
Same freaking awesome show.
That's right. Have a good one.